We want to finish out at the book of Genesis again, something we started a little while ago. We want to bring you back to Genesis chapter 41. We're dealing with the life of Joseph. Hey man, if you've been around on Wednesday nights, we've been going through a survey of the life of David. Amen. And for the last 5 or so weeks, we've been preaching from the life of Joseph. We want to call your attention to the book of Genesis, the 41st chapter. Amen. Right on the screen, Genesis chapter 41, verses 50 through 52. And you should be able to follow through on the screen. If not, in the back of your pew, there's an IV Bible. You can take that, turn to page 30. Genesis chapter 41. When you found that, we would, if you could, and are able, would you stand with us as we read together just 3 verses of the Bible, verses 50, 51, and 52 from that 41st chapter. Are you there?
Yes.
Let's read together, starting with verse 50 in the NIV. Before the years of famine came, 2 sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, the daughter of Potiphera, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Help me by turning to that neighbor you introduced yourself to and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
it's time to get ready, for Manasseh."
All right now.
In the name of Jesus, we have so much to be thankful for. The mercy. He said that it would fall on us all of our lives, and we pray that your word is true. Lord God, for your dispatching angels around about us on last night. Lord, you kept the death angels from coming our way. Lord God, you gave us eyes to see, ears to hear, legs to walk. Lord, we have anatomically everything we need to be successful in life. God, you gave us the activities of our limbs, Lord. You got us in our right mind. Food, clothing, shelter. We got choices. Everything we need, Lord, you gave it. And for that we say thank you. Lord, I pray as we go forward now in your word, God, that you continue to do what you've done before. That you will be out again, you will be in the midst, Lord, and you will cover us with your spirit and your word. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. For you are my strength, you are my redeemer, you are my all in all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And thank God. So, thanks for concluding this series of messages entitled, "You're Going to Get Through This." And we've been trailing the tapestry of the life of Joseph. And as we have done that, we learned in lesson 1 that God is still good. We learned in lesson 2 that you cannot lose your destiny. We learned in lesson 3 that justice delayed is not necessarily justice denied. And then on today, we just want to leave you with the thought that you got to get ready for Manasseh. Yes, we have all been going through. But I want to encourage you not to worry, because Manasseh is coming. Amen. We all go through things that are not fair. Amen. We all experience situations that cause heartache and pain. I believe somebody knows what I'm talking about this morning.
Yes.
I mean, you were doing the right thing in the right place and at the right time, but now everything is going wrong. Your relationship is ruptured. Your family is fractured. Sickness, sadness, and suffering and sorrow have become the new normal. Trouble is on every hand, and things that have happened to you, things that you thought that you could never get over or get through, that's what we've been going through.
Yes, yes.
That's what this past several weeks have been about. How to get through what is difficult to get over. And nobody understood this better than Joseph. He had plenty of reasons to be ungrateful. He was abandoned. He was betrayed. He was estranged and enslaved. Yet we find in the text that Joseph found at least two gestures of gratitude. He and his wife, Asenath, had two sons, and they named their firstborn son Manasseh, which in the Hebrew means to forget, saying, God has made me forget all my trouble and all that happened in my father's household. And then he named his second son Ephraim, which in the Hebrew means double prosperity, saying, God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Now, according to the tradition of that day, each child's name bore a special spiritual and divine significance. For in the Hebrew culture, you didn't just name your child anything. Well, I don't know about you, but does anybody here still know what the name Pookie represents? Ray Ray? Takisha? Anybody? In the Hebrew culture, their names meant something. Their names were literally connected to their past as well as their future, because it was believed to be a prophecy about their life. And most parents, even today, y'all, would go to great lengths to try to select the perfect name for their children, and that's what Joseph did. The text opens during the days of abundance. God had rewarded Joseph with a place in Pharaoh's court and with a wife and with a home. And as I park on this curve for just a moment, I promise I'm going to keep the moving running. But as I park, I need to pause to remind somebody here that God still is a rewarder. Oh, somebody needs to be reminded that we serve a God and we praise a God and we follow a God not to be rewarded, but that we may thank him just for knowing that he is a rewarder. Oh, please don't take my word for it. Take the word of the Hebrew writer who affirms to us that without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I tell you, God is a rewarder. God saw everything that happened and knew everything that transpired and permitted those things in Joseph's life to unfold, and in God's own time, he flipped the script and reversed the curse and turned the tables and rewarded Joseph with stability, security, and success.
Yes.
However, it did not come without pain, nor did it happen quickly. Are you sure with this morning?
Yes.
The moment had finally arrived for Joseph to start a family. And when his wife Asenath had asked Joseph, what's the baby's name? Joseph said, well, I want a name on God made me forget. Now I can only imagine her sarcastically asking Joseph, well, if God made you forget, how do you know what to name him? And I'm sure Joseph cleared his throat and he said, well, let me clarify. That's the name I want to give our child. God made me forget. You know, I'm sure she gave him that look like most Egyptian wives always give. And y'all too, when you get something that you don't like. Can y'all hear her saying, you mean every time I try to call my son's name, that's what I'm going to have to say? Wow. It's time for dinner. God made me forget. Go wash your hands. God made me forget. Did you finish your homework? God made me forget. Joseph, that ain't working. Maybe you ought to pray about this, and maybe God can make you forget about that name. You know, I was thinking maybe that Joseph, you could have named him our child Joseph Jr. Could have called him JJ. Or maybe you could have named him after his grandfather, Jacob. Or how about Kevin? That's a name that's reserved for special people. But Joseph made up in his mind he was not naming his child Joseph Jr. Because every time his name was spoken, he says, I want God's name to be praised. And the message, verse 51 says, God made me forget all my hardships and my parental home, and I want God to know that I am grateful. Hear me well. God is able to change things for you and around you, that whatever you went through to get to this moment will fade into the background. So how do you get to that point? Here's the first lesson that the text teaches us. It teaches us that if you're going to give birth to Manasseh, you cannot be chained to the pain of your past. Now look at the series of injustices and sufferings that Joseph went through. But yet he did not allow the bitterness and the pain to occupy his heart. He overcame his desire or the desire to get revenge. He rose above the valley of despair and proved victorious by the grace of Almighty God. He was victimized, but he never became a victim. He was kidnapped, thrown into a cistern, and sold, y'all, not once, but twice as a slave. He was falsely accused. He was put in prison. He was ignored by the baker and forgotten by the butler. But he didn't permit the negatives of his life to destroy his life. He went through every negative thing and used everything negative in a positive way. He learned how to turn his pain into gain. And I think this is a good place to pause to have a shout of praise to God for the pain that God has already brought you through. Amazingly, that whatever happens to you won't be a deterrent for you.
Yes, God.
Joseph was not chained by the pain of his past. Why? Because secondly, the text teaches us that he cherished the circumstances of the present. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Cherish the circumstances of today. Joseph named his first child, God made me forget. But let me go a little deeper. Because some of the measure of forgetfulness is always the prerequisite for fruitfulness. Some of us want to be fruitful, but there are first some things that you have to first forget. We want the fruitfulness. We don't want to forgetfulness. Fruitfulness and forgetfulness are tied together at the hip. You cannot use your heart as a closet to hold hurts. You've got to be willing to release the past if you ever hope to receive the present. God made me forget. It's a Hebrew phrase that literally means to leave the thought that proceeds to forget. In essence, in naming his child that, he's saying, God made it possible for me to get my mind off of what was done to me so that I can focus on and appreciate what is being done for me. And the truth is that some of y'all waste too much time concentrating on what was done to you that you can't even see what God is trying to do for you. Or do anything, you ought to scream Manasseh. I'm no longer concentrating on that because I'm getting ready for this. Manasseh. I'm no longer going to be hurt by them because I'm too blessed and I don't care about that. Manasseh. I'm moving on with my life. I've suffered long enough. I've given this nonsense enough tension. And as of this moment, in this hour, and in this worship service, which means God has caused me to be fruitful.
Yes.
Now don't miss this. Not just fruitful, but fruitful in the land of my affliction. It is Joseph's shift that precedes his success. And some of you need to make a shift in your thinking.
Yeah.
Because what you concentrate on is what you navigate toward.
Wow.
Let me say it again. What you concentrate on is where you headed.
Yeah.
If you concentrate on all the negative, guess where you headed? Toward the negative. If you concentrate on all the hurt, guess where you headed? Right into the middle of all the earth. Notice what God made them fruitful. In the land of my affliction. It is in the same place where he was bound, where God had blessed him. It is in the same place where he knew nothing but pain. That's where God made him to prosper. whether he was enslaved, in prison, or even after his promotion, God, Joseph kept his eye on God.
Yes.
God was with him.
Yes.
And somebody here knows that the presence of God in your life is really what makes the difference.
Yes.
The question was never how big the problem, or how high the mountain, or how brutal the storm, or even how desperate the need. What mattered was the presence of God. Because if God is with you, I declare you will to emerge. If God is with you, you will make it. If God is with you, you will always be the head, and you will never be the tail. Joseph said, God made me forget. And then God made me fruitful. And the result is, because of that, I'm grateful. I gotta confess that I've been hanging out with this text all week. And I confess that as I was hanging out, I said, I'm not gonna holler while I'm trying to share this with you. I'm not gonna try to share, how I'm giving you what the Lord gave me, but I can't help it.
I know that's right.
Because every time I think about God, I got to thank God. My thinking turns to thanking. Joseph honored God's mercy with one name, and then he proclaimed God's favor with the other name. And he could do that because when you look at his story, his brothers betrayed him at the ripe age of 17. But he was in a position of prominence by the age of 30. And for 13 years, he dealt with challenges and difficulties. Somebody said, 13 years, Lord, help me get through 13 days. But for 13 years, he dealt with nothing but challenges and difficulties, but it was the rest of his story.
Yes.
The part after age 30, where we never read of Joseph ever having any other problems.
You're right.
Read your Bible. He lived to see 3 generations of peace, stability, and abundance. And he was so grateful that he didn't have time to think about what his brothers had done to him. He was so grateful that he didn't have time to think about what Potiphar's wife had done to him. He was so grateful that he didn't have time to think about how the butler and the baker had ignored him. Every time that he saw Manasseh, he thanked God. Oh, I thought you were a thankful crowd this morning. Come on, let me explain it to you. Let me say it this way. When it comes to living this life, you have one of two options. You can either grumble or you can be grateful. And grumbling and gratitude, if you feel like the world owes you something, then you'll brace yourself for more disappointment. Because the sky will never be blue enough, and your steak will never be tender enough, and the planet will never be good enough to deserve somebody like you. Don't you know Henry Ward Beecher once said that a proud man is seldom a grateful man, but he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. But a person with a grateful heart sees every day as a gift. Thankful people cherish the circumstances of the present. Cherish the circumstances of the present.
Yeah.
But then, after you do that, you can celebrate the promise of the future.
Hey, come on, man.
In verse 51, Joseph says, "It is because God has made me forget all my troubles." But in verse 52, he says, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering."
Yes.
And the point, y'all, should be clear. If you were to live for God, whether you're living in adversity, as Joseph was in adversity for most of his preceding 13 years, or if you want to live in prosperity, as now he is from this point on, it must be by the power of God in and through your life. I don't want to live in anything other than what God has for me. I know adversity comes. I know trouble comes. But don't mean I have to live there. I don't have to give trouble the key to my house. You better like the doorbell like everybody else. But it's the power of God that moves you from adversity to prosperity. Hey man, it ain't putting no money in an offering plate. Don't get it twisted. Do not get that. That is a false theology that you will never hear from me. It is the power of God that moves you from adversity. Amen. There ain't enough blessed prayer thoughts. Moves us from adversity to prosperity. And after the dust, amen, of the test of trials had settled on the ground, Joseph realized that he had come through all of what he had come through to get to where he is now. Mm-hmm. And as he realized that it was God moving through all of the past events in his life and not just people, he knew that no matter what had happened, God was still in control. Yes. Make no mistake. No matter what has happened in your life, the pen of your destiny is always in the hands of God. God will write the final word on your future. And it will always, always work out for your good. So why should we not be grateful? Well, what do I have to be grateful for, Pastor? I'm going to try to help you. I just got to get you started. You know that it's a miracle of muscles that enable your eyes to see and your ears to hear words. It's a miracle of muscles that enable your brain to not only to see and to hear, but to process that meaning. It's a miracle of muscles for your lungs to inhale and exhale what is equivalent to 7 miles of air every single day. It is a miracle of muscles that your heart will beat at least 3 billion times in your lifetime. So why should you not be grateful? It's a miracle of muscles. And I'm going to get the statistics, but your eyes blink hundreds of thousands of times. We don't even recognize that there's a need and a reason for your eyes to blink. I was just talking anatomically and physiologically. Do I need to keep going? Why should you not be grateful? And if you're not grateful today, then I'm just rejoiced by myself.
Come on, man. Yes.
I thank God.
Yes.
Put bread on my table. I'm going to look at my cereal. I thank for God for the blanket that covered me last night and for the jokes that made me laugh today. I thank God for the hundreds of planes that I've been on that did not crash. And for the thousands of times that I did not get into an accident with. I thank God for the relationships that have not been ruptured and for the families that have not been fractured. Gets me through the hard stuff. And I thank God for having me to know that
Lord God, thank you.
Yeah!
beckoning you to you right here by this. And then you make the other child from the prosperity that God said he would give him. Now I'm not asking you to ordain your children. I'm just telling you, don't be bound by your past. Somebody said, man, that's enough for me. It was so heavy. I didn't think I could ever get from under here. But look at me now. I don't know how to look at me now. I'm so sad. Where are all the women now, sir? Some young man, some young woman who's trying to get to where you are, because he said, in order to get where I am, you got to go through what I took you to get before. Y'all see us now, but you don't see what we had to go through this. Every time Joseph looked at his children, he wanted to honor and thank God for not only what he was, but where God has lived him from. Are you ready? Are you ready to be the man of God that God has given you? No. Are you ready to stand on the promises of God? Over 7,000 promises in the Bible. And I declare God has kept his promise on every that even in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, and trust me, we're not going to be able to delay the valley. But while we're in there, he promised he will be with us. Here's another promise I think y'all want right past. While we're there, he's with us. But he said, I ain't going to leave you there. Yea, though I walk through. Right now. Oh, y'all ought to just give God a shout.